it is a unscheduled visit of mine, came to New York Rath Jatra day before yesterday, and again yesterday we had a program there in Brooklyn, so I thought I'll just come here for a day. And to tell you frankly, I was not expecting so many of you to come. I decided to come to a temple for evening darshan. And so Madhupati Prabhu wanted that I come and give a class. Oh, I see. Doing better? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, I'm very happy to see all of you. Now tell me, what should I do? What should we do? One thing we can do is have a question-answer session. That makes, I think, more personal. So who is going to ask the first question? Yes. Well, I'll say the charity begins at home. And like we should...
Can you unmute the wireless mics? Do you see one more wireless mic there? Is it there?
I mean, it is. What you see is a fact.
He unmute.
It's a reality. But at the same time, I'll say... that she was chanting so nicely. So at least you are inspiring your children to chant, take shelter of the holy name. And so it will depend upon the parents. There must be various factors that are impeding that possibility. One is, oftentimes we'll see that the parents don't have enough time for their children. Like, another thing is, the children may get affected by the, you know, good guidance of the parents. But when they go out, they get this, they get influenced. Another thing is that often because of such closeness and familiarity, the children take it for granted. So these are the hurdles and these are the challenges that we have to overcome. And what you said, I fully agree with you, because in our practical, you know, in facing the reality, we are seeing that the outsiders are becoming more attracted to Krishna consciousness than the insiders. For example, you know, not that many devotee children are becoming full-time devotees. Whereas, there's a lot of reverb. Whereas many students that we are preaching to, their journey. I mean, most of the time you'll see that they're. Now, why, you know, this is a challenge that we are facing actually in a moment. Often the devotee children are not inclined to join a movement, whereas outsiders are joining, especially in India. And so the main thing is that my suggestion to the parents will be that you all become so exemplary that your children will follow you. And give them, amount of understanding of Krishna consciousness from their childhood. Don't force them too much, but educate them with the proper understanding. Why should we chant? Why should we take to Krishna consciousness? Again, another thing that I can tell you from my own experience, that many of the youth, some of the youth confided in me that in their childhood they had been so much forced by their parents that they developed resentment. Like when they were little babies, the mother went to the temple to attend Mangal Arati and took the children with them. Well, in one hand, really, it was a very nice thing to do. But on the other hand, we can see. And that's why my simple suggestion will be that make Krishna consciousness so interesting that they will take it. Don't make it a compulsion. Let them develop a natural, attraction and liking for that. Sometimes some devotees come and tell me that, they're so tired from their work, and sometimes, they find it so difficult to complete their 16 rounds. My frank suggestion is, don't worry about it. If you're tired, take rest. If you can't complete your 16 round now, don't worry about it. Later on, when you're a little more relaxed, chant it in that relaxed mode. Ultimately, Krishna is not really seeing what you are doing. Krishna is seeing with what kind of intention you are doing that. Krishna is seeing how you are doing it. Like if you resentfully offer something to somebody, and when you lovingly offer something to somebody, see the difference. So the most important thing is that let's develop our love for Krishna. Let's develop our natural attraction for the holy name. Susukham kartum abhayam. Krishna consciousness or devotional service should be executed joyfully. Joyfully, let's execute. Today's world has become very complex. Life has become so complex. Unless you earn certain amount of money, you can't survive in this world. And in order to earn that amount of money, you have to work so hard. Often both husband and wife have to work. The result is the mother is not able to take care of the children or give the time to the children. In normal condition, that's not the, you know, that's not the family structure that used to be or should be. In the Vedic culture, or not even Vedic culture, in normal society, few years back, you know, women stayed at home and took care of the children and the household. But today, you know, most of the women are going out and working. Oftentimes the mother get 1 month's leave before the child is born and another 1 month after the child. And then child is 1 month old, mother is going to work. But what to do, you know, that's how the world has become, the society. And this is actually Kali's arrangement. Kali is forcing everyone to become completely absorbed in just maintaining, earning money to maintain themselves. Like we're seeing big, big, you know, beautiful houses and all, but to live in those houses, you have to work so hard. Anyway, like, let us try to, you know, deal with these problems with proper understanding. Let's deal especially with our children. I would say the first and foremost responsibility of the parents is to give them all the love. That's what they need, especially mother's love. The mother, the more the love they get, the stronger will become their character. So therefore let the mothers offer all the love to their children. And, you know, like, it's a big challenge, you know, like we are, you see, the reality is Kali has taken over this world. You know, today's world is actually completely controlled by Kali. And we are trying to introduce Krishna consciousness. It's a major challenge. You know, Kali has taken over the whole world. But Sankirtan movement is Kali's worst enemy. But we know one thing, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No matter how powerful Ravan was, Ram defeated him, destroyed him. Alone he practically, him and Lakshman and a bunch of monkeys. And Ravan was the most, you know, advanced, you know, military power at that time. So powerful that he could even defeat the demigods, which is beyond our imagination. Defeating the demigods. See, those personalities who are controlling the wind, the personalities controlling the rain, controlling, you know, the air and water, those personalities were defeated by Ravana. The personality who is controlling death, Jamraj. Of course, Ravan couldn't defeat Jamraj, but when Jamraj was about to use his Jamadanda on Ravan, then Brahma came and said, don't do that. He is not meant to be killed by you. So Jamraj disappeared. Ravan thought he conquered even Jamraj. But eventually, in spite of being so powerful, he was destroyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we side with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no matter how insurmountable the obstacle may appear to be, we are going to overcome it. We are going to defeat Kali. Kali cannot conquer Krishna. Kali may have spread his influence all over the world, but eventually Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement is completely going to destroy Kali's influence. It will happen. And we have to simply become a part of it. We are siding with somebody who can, you know, make the whole world Krishna conscious in no time. I mean, what is the big deal? Like, you know, he's the creator of innumerable universes. What to speak of one earth planet? It's completely insignificant for him. Right? And he predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. So why should we worry? Let's just carry on, try our level best, and depend upon him, pray to him for his mercy, for his support. And one thing also I can tell you, one assurance I can give you, that the Krishna consciousness that you are giving to your children at their formative age is going to be there with them throughout their life. So for the time being, it may seem that they are not accepting Krishna consciousness, but you know, eventually you'll see that they're going to come back because they got the taste of it. A taste that they'll never get anywhere else. So they're going to come back. I mean, even if they're not, you know, appearing to be responding so nicely now. Thank you.
To inculcate the right thing to the kids. But it's challenging. Isn't it like every individual has their own journey and everybody came with their own prarabdha, and the son born in your family, when Krishna's son was not as pious as him, so Pradyumna. So should we be taking that kind of responsibility, or we should be doing and setting ourselves as example? And if they follow, well and good. If they don't follow, then it's their destiny. What do you say about
that?
Yeah,
good point. Yeah. And, like, best way to teach is by our own example. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Apuni Achari Prabhu Jibere Shikhai. Conducting himself, he is teaching the living entities. Practicing the process of devotional service himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how to become a devotee. So become a very good example for your children. And as you said, like, yeah, everyone comes with his own destiny, own fate. But we also have to consider, you know, like, I mean, it's not an accidental happening to be born in the devotee family. So, these are special children, you know, like, we have to take care of them properly. And main thing is, give them all the love. Treat your children with all the love. And that will go a long way. Yes, sometimes parents have to be strict. But that's another thing, for their own benefit, you know. You have to guide them properly. But that's also an expression of love. Yes, Madhupati Prabhu.
Just a follow-up on that is...
Yeah.
And from the teachings of Rishabhdev, we see Raja na Shyat, Pita na Shyat, Janani na Shyat.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, whoever takes responsibility to become parents,
right,
the onus lies on the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but the challenge that we are talking about, that in spite of trying, when the parents don't succeed, you know, like apparently, I would say, there's so many factors. The influence of the age of Kali is the most difficult impediment, most difficult hurdle.
It has to be joyfully performed. You cannot force it. Many times parents like see that they try to force things on the children, or they take happenings of the temple or whatever, politics of the temple at home, and that from a very young age the child is exposed that, oh, if the things are happening like that in the temple, why should I take Krishna consciousness?
True. Anyway, difficulties we are aware of. Let's see how to overcome those difficulties. You know, one thing I try to say, although it may sound a little impractical, and that is that women shouldn't go out and work outside. How many of you are working? Okay, I'll start discussing about that afterwards. It's a challenging situation, yeah. You know, all I can say, I wish that we could create a situation when you didn't have to go to work. Do you enjoy going to work outside? No, right? You know. And how many of you have children? You have children. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the challenge that we have, you know, being the leaders of our movement, you know, like, because, you know, there are situations when a single mother, if the mother doesn't work, then who is going to maintain? Often, the income of one person is not sufficient to meet the expenses. Now the thing is that, and again I can go back to that point, you know, Kali has created this situation so complex. You know, like for example, you know, consider even 50, 60 years back, the rent was not so high, the cost of things were not so high, and, you know, just one person's income was sufficient to cover. Prabhupada used to say just 1 acre of land, about 1 acre of land. He even said, even less actually, 2 bighas, he used the measurement in India, which can be just about 1 acre or a little less than 1 acre of land. And a cow was sufficient to maintain one family. But now, you know, like, situation has become, most of us moved into the cities, and there the house rent is so high, provisions are so high, to work, you know, transportation is so high, expensive. And if you don't have sufficient amount of income, you can't actually survive. you know, like in India probably things could be a lot easier, like I'll give you an example. Once in Calcutta, I was speaking to about 150, 200 congregation devotees. And during the question answer session, a question came up that I don't have enough time, I don't find enough time to complete my 16 rounds. So I went back to the point of asking, like, when do you go to work? You know, to go to work he has to get up at something like 6 o'clock and go to work and come. When do you come back home? I come back home. I leave home at about 6 o'clock, come back home at about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And, you know, so then I asked him, are you from the city itself? Oh, yeah, then before that I asked him, how much do you earn? And then how much do you spend? How much does your rent cost? How much does your provisions cost? How much does your transport cost? And at the end of the day, he doesn't have anything left. And even sometimes that amount is not sufficient to maintain himself, you know. So I asked him, are you from Calcutta or you? No, I came from a village. Do you have a house in the village? Yes. How much do you pay for your rent? Nothing. How much is your transport cost? Nothing. And then I pointed out that by coming to the city, what did you gain? Like you're earning money, but all the money is going just to maintain yourself. So why don't you go to the village and stay there? And anyway, that is how the thing actually started. And at some point I asked, how many of you are from the villages? Quite a few hands went up. And if you have the opportunity, how many of you would go back to the villages? Quite a few hands went up. And so I asked, but you can't go back to the village now because the arrangement is not there. So why don't you team up? And as a group, you go to the village. And, you know, you develop your own setup. You know, you have your own school, you have your own, and do the farming. And the response was quite good. And I requested them to move on and let me see what they can achieve. Like at least in Indian context, we can think of something. In American context, I can also suggest something. You see, practically all of you came to America to make money, isn't it? The purpose of coming to America was to make money. Of course, the allurement of grand life was there. So make your money and go back to India. Like you can consider, you know, making a kind of a group, might can have a team and get a large piece of land somewhere and develop, you know, like I mean if you'll go there with certain amount of money, I'm sure you can very easily create a situation when many other people can come and find their livelihood. Not only you'll arranging for your livelihood, you'll be arranging for many other people's livelihood as well. And And you know, Krishna conscious life can be so simple. Like, there can be one kitchen offered to Krishna and have Krishna prasad for, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner. And have your own, you know, many of you will be doctors, have your own create medical facilities, create educational facilities, and that is how probably you can create an ideal village where you don't have to conform with this Kali's arrangement. You can counter Kali's arrangement. Like an example I can, you know, like an I can give. How many of you know about the what's the group called? They're in Pennsylvania. Amish. They're on strike against the modern civilization. They're maintaining their own lifestyle since, you know, since a long, long time. They came to America maybe a few hundred years back and they decided to just maintain their own lifestyle. And, you know, they're doing that. And obviously, you know, they are happy being there. Otherwise, you know, why they should be there? And it's not that they're forcing anybody to remain in the community. Before they kind of commit themselves to become a part of the community, they're given the option to go out and, you know, see the outside world. And those who opt for coming back, you know, yes. It's a small community, but there is, you know, they have been successful in their own way. Another community is the Mormons, but they did it in a different way. They created all kinds of arrangements. They run their own business and, you know, they are very successful in that. And they are, it's a very tightly knit community. They have their own schools, own college, own universities. And when they graduate, the children, the student, I mean the boys and girls go out for, I think mostly the boys, they go out on sabbatical for 2 years. They go to different parts of the world. Once I came across a group in Calcutta and we invited them to a temple. Had a wonderful time with them. We served them prasad and banana leaf plates and they were thrilled with that, you know. And then after that, when they go back, a job is waiting for them. And they maintain a very strict standard, somewhat like ours actually. In the student life, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Like, very strict about that. They lead quite a pure life. And I was reading the life of the original person, you know, who started and this Mormon community. It's not Brigham Young. Like, even before that, James, I forgot his full name. Joseph Smith, thank you. Yeah, Joseph Smith. He was standing for the election to become the president, and many suspected, many thought that he would become the president. He could have become the president, but he was murdered. And still, you know, you can see that they have become so successful. Of course, it took time, but along with that, you know, came the guidance and the drive of, you know, powerful individuals who have been influenced by the doctrines of Joseph Smith. So, you know, like, we have to seriously consider these models and see how to create our own structure. No doubt we have the highest philosophy. No doubt we have the most profound, you know, way of spiritual life. But, you know, like, we are facing challenges. We are facing the challenges because we have to compromise with the present situation. Therefore, we have to consider, you know, instead of, you know, if we want to compromise, then we have to come to terms with them. But the other way is to deny their, you know, arrangement, defy their arrangement. And that means we have to create our own arrangement. Now we have to consider seriously how to do that. How to do that. I'm not so familiar with the American situation, but, you know, in India, it can happen quite easily. And therefore I would request you all, you know, at some point consider going back to India, not just for your own sake, but to create that model, you know, that can become the role model, ideal model for others to follow. And as I was saying, like, you know, while you're doing that, it's not that only you are arranging for your own security, you are actually arranging, providing for others as well. Because, you know, like, if 30 of you go, but I'm sure, you know, you can make arrangement for 300 other families. Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on farm communities. But I'm telling, I mean, I saw the farm communities are facing, you know, it's very difficult actually. Because I had been involved with two areas, one in France and one in Belgium, where we had, one community had one farm, we had more than 1,000 acres of land. And another one, Belgium one, you know, we had 700 acres of land. But we couldn't do our own farming. You know, because the cost of producing your own food is more expensive than buying it from outside. You know, because the way they have arranged it, you know, like mass production, you know, heavy machine, you know, like, that's one thing. Another thing is that by staying in the farm community, they could not maintain their livelihood. They had to go out and earn money by selling paintings or making, you know, such kind of arrangements. And then they started to feel, you know, why should we stay in the here? Rather, it'll be a lot easier for me to stay in the city. Then I don't have to travel for 3 hours, you know, to just sell a bunch of paintings. I can just stay here. And they started to move out. So this is how, you know, like, and then the winter is so, you know, harsh in the West. So it becomes very, very difficult, you know, like. But, you know, in India probably it won't be so difficult. Like, as I was saying, you know, like, you can, you know, lead a life where you can attend the Mangalarati, you can attend the morning program, and you don't actually have to worry about who is going to cook the breakfast. You know, the arrangement is there in the temple to cook the breakfast, offer it to the Lord. And then after the Bhagavatam class, you go and take prasad. And then, you know, do some, render some service, lunch, have a little nap, get ready for the evening program. You know, like, it can be so easy. And that's why, you know, like, we are making arrangements for our students. This program was actually started by Radha Krishna Prabhu, who himself is an IIT, brilliant IIT student. I think he was a gold medalist. he started to preach in IIT and attracting the students. Anyway, so in Ujjain, we are from Ujjain, we are preaching also to Indore and Bhopal, two major cities in Madhya Pradesh. And we kind of created that kind of situation, you know. Like this arrangement is, the students live in that facility. That, by the way, he is one of the product of that. And this is Krishna Kishore. He did his engineering from Pune. And anyway, so they stay in our arrangement. And in order to stay there, you know, you have to attend the morning program. Starts at 5 or 5.30. 4.30 itself, wow. Okay, Mangalaratik. Then, you know, Japa period, Bhagavatam class, Guru Puja, breakfast. Then they go to their college or university. And anyway, at least they have the morning program. They come home, they come back, they have their prasad. Morning they have breakfast. Evening when they come back, you know, they have their prasad. And I was actually quite worried, you know, initially, that, you know, the whole morning goes with this spiritual program. So what's, how, you know, like, then studies is going to be neglected. So I told them emphatically that please don't neglect your studies. Whatever you're doing, you must do it properly. Because if you don't succeed, if you fail, if your result is not good, then your parents will blame us. They'll say, because they have become influenced by us, you have failed. And anyway, so at the end of the year, they came back to me to tell me about the results. And most of them did, not most of them, all of them did better than before. And I asked them, you know, like, all your morning goes in, you know, spiritual activities, how did you manage to get this kind of result? And they told me that yes, the morning actually goes in spiritual activities, that the evening time that they used to squander, now they're using that time for their studies. They don't go out, you know, doing all kinds of frivolous activities in the evening. They just, and they also admitted, because of their involvement in Krishna consciousness, their mind is more peaceful, their intelligence is developed, their memory is better. So, and the result is, today we have about 90 brahmacharis in our temple. And more than close to 700 students are, you know, within this structure. I'll tell about this boy. We have one condition, that after you complete your studies, you have to go out and work for 2 years. Because if you, you know, join the movement directly after your studies, and then later on if you want to take up a job, you know, it will not be good for you. On the other hand, if you have 2 years of work experience, and then you come to Krishna consciousness as if you are rendering some sort of social work and something, it will go to your credit, just in case you want to take up a job. Now, this boy was so reluctant to go and take up a job, but you know, we have a condition that they have to work outside for 2 years. So what they did, he and four other friends together, they started a coaching school, coaching class, to get admitted in the engineering institutes. It's a Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj Ki Jai. So they started this coaching classes. They're doing quite well, and because, you know, in India, to get admitted in the engineering colleges is a big thing. And now they're coming from that same background, so they know, you know how to get admitted. So that's, they started. So when I saw that they were so keen to join the temple, I said, okay, fine. So all five of them joined. They closed up their coaching classes. And so, you know, like, this is how, you know, they're getting the taste of Krishna consciousness and becoming attracted to Krishna consciousness spontaneously. Are you happy being in Krishna consciousness? Devakinandan Prabhu, you had a question, you raised your hand.
I just wanted to make a little comment, small realization following on Krishna Karana Prabhu's point. I was thinking one of the reasons could be possible reason our children not taking seriously. Many of us come to Krishna conscious process, embrace at a later stage in life. We are 25, 30, 35, 40. And then we find that I have very less time. When you know you're 35, 40, you have next 20, 30 years. I must do everything very fast. So many of us become impatient within ourselves, between us and wife also, and with our children also. Because we feel, I don't have the time, that we, nobody else has the time to grab it. It must be done very fast. So we put our children in the same boat, that you must chant, you must know bhajan, you must know shloka, you must go to the temple, attend. So out of that impatience, we kind of create a character that somewhat bad example that they don't want to connect to when as they grow, because they felt, I didn't have very good experience, I didn't see my mom and dad very happily performing. So they derail themselves from this process for the time being. As you mentioned, they definitely come back. Just wanted to share my own life, little experience.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very good observation. And when you were speaking, I was also thinking another thing. That you see, the difference between us and them is, like, we saw that world and we opted for this one. So, in a way, probably we should give them the option also to see that world and decide for themselves, you know, what they really want to opt for. Like, as I was saying, the Amish, you know, they're given the option. Go and see that world. And then only you can come and become a qualified member.
America, you are saying that we can go back, or we came here for money. But even both partners doesn't have to work. In some situation, for example, IT people and everybody, like single person, is making good enough money to run the show. Even then, it seems the people are on ego, right? And just want. I have acquired this secondary education. My parents spent this much kind of money. Why shouldn't I work? And then there is a lot of like egotism because of money and then a lot of stuff. And then they find it's over here compared to India. Don't want to go even if you want to relocate. So yeah. There are a lot of angles which is not practical.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not saying that everybody has to do that. I'm saying those who want to, they can consider that option. Like, for example, you know, I know one person from Seattle. Like, he was there with us this morning. Madhavji. He was in Microsoft, very well placed. Started his own business, very successful. But then at one point, he quit. Bought a farm in Seattle and moved in there. You know, from a 5-bedroom house, they moved into the farm where they have a house in, like, you know, the farmhouses. It's quite a challenge, and it has been quite. But, you know, like, they're happy, both of them, husband and wife. The wife is the head, you know, head of the school there for the children. And he's also very much active, very actively involved in Krishna consciousness in Seattle Temple. And at the same time, he's living in a farm, growing his own food, has his own cows, and is happy doing that. You know, like, but these are some exceptional cases, you know. But, and I would say that it's not also practical. And eventually now he's planning to move back to India and do the same thing. And he knows that it's going to be much better and a lot easier to do that in India. The advantage in India is that, you know, you can get other people to join you. Even, you know, you can hire people to do many things, and that way you can expand. Whereas here, you know, it's practically impossible to hire someone to do that. And his family people, his mother actually, he was telling me the other day that his mother writes to him, if you have to do the farming and taking care of cows, why you have to go to America? We have plenty of land here and you can do the same thing here. So anyway, eventually he's planning to do that, you know. But I think the ideal situation would be, you know, a few of you get together, you know, and move and, you know, start a project. You know, start a project. Because, you see, the challenges are, you know, even in India, if you have to live in a farm and earn your livelihood, it's going to become very difficult. But if you have arranged for your livelihood and set up the community and develop the community in that way, then it can actually, because eventually that community will be generating funds. Like, you know, when you're growing, when you're doing farming, you can sell your organic products and sell your various other items. You can also start a cottage industry and things, you know. Anyway, these are certain ideas. And yes.
On one side we say surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of everything. But on the other side, we are living in a high-cost country, America, New York, and you know, jobs are taking a lot of time, stressful. Like, some devotees don't have health insurance, or their kid is, she has a bleeding finger or something, but they don't really, can't take her to a hospital. It's not a serious issue, but, you know, they don't spend $1,000 on this medical procedure, that medical procedure. And devotees say, you know, I'm very confused. Should I go for more money, or I'm not able to send my kid to insurance program? And I'm,
yeah,
supposed
we
to
discussed rent. About that before you came. Before you came,
very cool.
Yeah, that the point we discussed was that, you know, Kali has made a very complex situation in today's world, right? Like, in order, you know, your survival becomes impossible unless you conform with this arrangement. Like, for example, to live, you have to have a house. You have to have so many other, you know, you need some basic, to get the basic facilities for survival, you have to have certain amount of money. And it's not just certain amount of money, one awful lot of money. And unless you compromise with that system, that means unless you take up a job in that system, you can't get that kind of money. And then you are saying that other complexities, you know, health insurance and this and that, you know, like, it becomes extremely difficult to survive unless you compromise to the system. That's Kali's arrangement. On the other hand, if you consider, you know, say 50, 60 years back, the life was not really that complicated. You know, even in America, I remember, you know, like, you know, you could get a fairly decent house for $300 a month. I'm talking about 30 years back. You could buy a nice house for $100,000. To buy that house today, you need $1 million at least. So these are the problems, you know, like those days, you know, just consider, you know, like, what's the price of gas 30 years back? I think 40 cents a gallon. And now it's almost $4 to a gallon. So this is how, you know, the life is becoming more and more complex. And then, you know, like, even job situation has become so competitive. Like, those days, you know, like, the moment you got a degree, you got a job. But now you have to go through a heavy competition, you know, to get a job. Because, you know, there are so many people with the same amount of educational qualifications. So, you know, the challenge is, you know, Kali is making certain arrangement. And we have to counteract that arrangement. And that's where it came to the point, you know. One of the ways to counteract is that, you know, like, team up, put certain amount of money into the kitty, with that start a project in India. Move back to India and start a project. And, you know, that will not only provide for you, that can also provide for so many other families that can join in. Yeah, so preach to the Americans and let them take up the mission. All right? There are plenty of Americans. I mean, how did the movement spread? It spread with all these American boys and girls preaching. I think they can do a better job than we do. So the point, actually, the thing that we... And eventually, you know, like, if we can spread this movement properly, then we are again considering, you know, the kind of situations that the Amishes have created, the situations that Mormons have created. You know, they are the examples, you know, to sort of deal with such situation in countries like America or in the West. We have to think of such models, you know, like, what is practical for India may not be practical here. But, you know, here also it can be possible. Like, if we live together, say, for example, you know, if we say one family to cook lunch for five people probably costs, you know, $25, right? Now, if 10 families get together, then probably with $100, you know, we can cook for, you know, 50 people. So that way, you know, instead of spending $250, we are spending only $100, you know, but getting the same kind of, you know, arrangement and with no involvement at all, just one or two persons, you know, getting involved, and the other individuals, you know, in the family, in that community of, say 5 people get involved in cooking, so 45 people are free now to do things that they want to do. And the way to do it, you know, somebody may say, well, how will that be possible? I say, well, it'll be possible because you're going to offer the prasadam to Krishna, food to Krishna. And then at the end, after offering, have Krishna prasad. So these are the simple guidelines for simple living and high thinking. Anyway, I mean, you know, we are simply in a discussing stage. I don't know, like, you know, where, you know, when it will be possible or whether it will be possible at all. But at least we have to seriously consider. Consider these challenges and how to overcome them. Okay. Any other question? You have a question? She's urging you to ask some question.
Chinese. Oh. So we got into this discussion about, actually she found out that there was a boy in China and he was quite afraid of one of the guys in the farm, where he basically slaughters the pigs. So then they found out later on that he actually was a pig. The little boy was a pig in his previous life. And he actually was really afraid of that man because he slaughtered him, basically. So my question is, 8,400,000 species of life we go through. So we have to go through each and every one of them before we become a human being. Because how was he a pig? And he was afraid of the man who killed him, basically, and he became a little boy. So that man who killed him, he remembers him. Is that possible?
I mean, the answer is very simple, you know, like, don't you believe in transmigration?
Right.
Of soul?
So.
Okay, changing body, that's possible. And as you asked, you know, whether we have to go through all 8,400,000 species, I would say that not only through these 8,400,000 species, but how many times? Since time immemorial, we are transmigrating from one body to another. Not that, you know, each time we have to go through the 8,400,000 species, but, you know, so many times we may have taken so many different types of bodies, we can't even imagine. The point is, let's not delve into that, you know, like in that of what we had been. But the consideration is what we can be. This life is providing us an opportunity to finish up that business and go back to our constitutional position. And it's fortunate that he remembers that he was a pig and now he became a human being and he remembers. Can you imagine how many of them are human beings and will become pigs and be slaughtered? Thank you, Hare Krishna. So, you have a question? Okay, please.
Namaste. I know many people in America, they always think at some point of their lifetime when they stay here to go back to India. And they always fear about the challenges that we have back in India, because we all know the way it operates, including corruption, daily life. Once we saw this beautiful country, beautiful roads, everything is beautiful here. So the phobia many people have is how we are going to even take that, even though we know that. And if you can enlighten us.
Good, very good point. I mean, these are the challenges. Yes, I agree. These are the challenges that we have to face. But one thing I can tell you, that, you know, human beings have a wonderful ability to adapt, right? Like, you got used to American life, but when you go to India, initially there'll be some difficulty, but after 2 and 3 months, you know, you'll accept it there, you'll adjust yourself in that situation. What to speak of, you know, like going back to India and adjusting in that situation, can you imagine? Like getting into an animal body after this life. And we adjust in that. And we begin to like it so much. So much so that when Indra had a pig's body and the demigods came to tell him, now please come back to the heavenly planet. You know what he said. How can I leave my family? You know, I have 2 kids just born the other day. My wife, she's so loving and caring. And like that, you know, like that is the meaning of being conditioned. The kind of body that we get attached to that. And we don't want to change that. But the thing is, why should we change to achieve a higher objective? Like, for example, if you are given a choice to live in America, work for 28 hours a day, I'm sorry, 18 hours a day, and earn a lot of money, have a beautiful lifestyle, you know, but no Krishna consciousness, no time for Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, accepting some physical hardship, but have a life which is very, very conducive to Krishna consciousness. What would be your choice? You don't have to tell me, you can consider yourself. Right? Wonderful. Yeah. Don't worry, he'll adjust. And he'll miss America. He'll miss America. But doesn't matter. Anyway, you can do one thing. 6 months in India, 6 months in America. Like, for 6 months of summer, you come to America, summer and spring, and 6 months of winter and autumn, stay in India. The best time there and best time here. Until you adopt that standard completely. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. You had a wonderful time with you all. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.